Save the date for the inaugural Mike Zimmer Golf Classic happening May 13th at Bear Path Golf and Country Club. Former and current Vikings, as well as local celebrities, will team up with partners and sponsors for a day of golf. Fun and prizes with hole-in-one, longest drive, and the closest to the pin will all be the contests that are included. All proceeds will benefit the Mike Zimmer Foundation outreach programs. More info at KFN.com, keyword community.
Welcome back to Indianapolis, a late addition to the Combine-related programming. It's the Professor, John Clayton, in Indianapolis, joining us. Hello, Professor.
Good to see you. How you been?
Good to see you, John. John Clayton, columnist, Washington Post.
Yeah, can you believe that?
When did that start?
What I did, I started a weekly column in September for the Washington Post. And then all of a sudden, out of the blue, about a month ago, I get an email from the sports editor and says, oh, here's your contract. And so now I'm a Washington Post columnist on top of everything else.
Well,
you know, being on the sidelines with Ben during Viking games.
And can I say one thing real quick?
Of course.
As I'm in Nate's shot here. Doing the sideline bit, right? Everybody sort of wants to help out everybody else with information. John, you are the very best, from what I've experienced, about helping out the opposing team's sideline reporter.
Oh, well, thank you.
You always come over and give me information, whether we use it or not. So I've always appreciated, like, you will come out of your way and walk over to us and say, hey, just want you to know, this is going on our sideline. I'm like, well, thank you.
That's great.
Really, thank you.
But you have to admit, I mean, doing the sideline stuff is a blast.
Of all the stuff
I've done during my career, it's one of the most fun things I've ever done. It is so good. It's a different perspective of seeing things. I mean, you get different things, crazy things, and I just love it.
Yeah, and you get your steps in.
Oh, yeah, exactly. Well, and the great part is, as long as the music's good. If the music's good, it's country, then I'm going to go back in the press box.
Yeah, what constitutes good music John Clayton?
What's that? Hip-hop, beat, anything with a rhythm.
All right, I like it. John Clayton making asking for hip-hop on the sidelines.
Yeah, I didn't realize Post like Malone and Sway Lee's Sunflower was your favorite song.
Yeah, I'm a little Wayne is like... I still remember I went to the...
That's great.
I only went to like one ESPN magazine party, and that was in Jacksonville.
Yeah.
And so I was walking out, leaving, and all of a sudden there's this big disturbance. And so I was like, what's going on? And it was little Wayne trying to jump a barrier to try to get me to come on stage with him. It's like, are you kidding me?
Oh, that's great.
That's awesome.
So I always took the tag of free little Wayne.
Right.
Free
radio, podcasting, columnist, Washington Post, and noted hip-hop dancer.
Absolutely, yeah. Well, not dancer. I just listen.
Yeah,
I can't
enthusiast.
Dance. Yeah, enthusiast.
Let's go with that. You work at 710 in Seattle.
Right.
So you obviously talk a lot of Seahawks. I thought the Seahawks had the potential last year to be a bottom three team because of all the offseason moves.
Yeah.
They gutted, so much of that team. Pete Carroll, by the end of the year, I thought Pete Carroll should have won Coach of the Year.
Yeah.
I thought what he did with the remnants of that team to make them playoff competitive was unbelievable.
Seven starters on defense he replaced and four on offense. Think about it, 11 starters total, and he ended up winning one more game than the year before and then going to the playoffs. Now, it was a great coaching job.
Unbelievable. How do you feel about the Seahawks rolling into this season?
Where it depends on how now, the issue they have right now, they only have four draft choices, which, of course, John Snyder is one that likes to have 8 to 10, and he can trade down a couple times like he did it a couple years ago. He picked up four draft choices and three trades that took him into the second round. Now, it took Malik McDowell, who turned out to be a bust and never played a down, but in the end, they got about three. Chris Carson in one of those moves they picked up in the seventh round, so he's real good at that. If they can get about four or five more additions on defense, so a little bit more depth with another pass rusher, I think they have a chance to close the gap a little bit on the Rams.
Yeah, that's, no team does a better job. They only got the four draft picks.
Yeah.
But no team does a better job historically of finding undrafted players who can walk in and someday turn into a meaningful starter.
Mm-hmm. Or even last year, I mean, they could have had like four compensatory picks, but they elected to go get players, and they paid like $3.4 million or less, but they got four starters out of that.
Yeah.
The year before, they get Bradley McDougal, who had a Pro Bowl alternate year at safety. They picked up DJ Fluker for $1.5 million, and he helped turn around that run game to a point where they're the best running team in football.
Unbelievable transition.
And a guy that we know really well, Darrell Bevell, was replaced by Brian Schottenheimer. How do you think Brian did in his first year?
He did well. He did really well because it took him a couple games to kind of get adjusted because he was enamored by the arm of Russell Wilson.
Mm-hmm.
And so his mission was to run the football. And so he came in the first couple games, they didn't run the football. And so all of a sudden he has a meeting with Pete Carroll, and they both talked it out. And it was so he would love the arm of Russell when he wanted to use it. After that, then they became the best rushing team in the league. So he had a good year, and I think he can grow on it because, you know, all these people were saying, hey, they need to get Exotic in this and Exotic. No. Take the first year and get the base of the deep offense going and then add to it.
And that's the one thing that I think a lot of these people, even here at the Combine, have to realize that certain quarterbacks, or if we're talking quarterbacks, have a certain style. And I think that we would all agree that Russell Wilson's better when he's got a running game.
Yeah.
If you try to throw the ball 50 times a game, kind of like Drew Brees,
mm-hmm.
if you ask Drew to throw 50 times a game, he's not going to win a lot of games. He's going to make a lot more mistakes than that. But if you've got a run game, play action pass, use that accuracy, get him outside the pocket a little bit, then he's deadly.
Mm-hmm. And that's the big thing that, because he's got great escapability. But the problem for the 2 years prior to this past year was that, I mean, they had no blocking on the offensive line. He was scrambling. It was almost like street football. And so they can't do that. Now at least they have a plan, and a plan they can build on.
The extra offensive lineman they used last year, George Fant.
Fant, yeah.
Yeah, he's fascinating to me. And you know, I know when he came in undrafted as a basketball player his first year, I think they wanted to put him on the practice squad, but they were worried, desperately worried they were going to lose him. So he was on the active roster. And then he was that extra offensive lineman last year, super underrated in paving the way to the league's best running game.
Yeah, in fact, because he had as many as 27 plays at tight end just to block. And the weird part is, in his rookie year, now here's a guy that in college was a tight end and a defensive lineman. Never played offensive line, but he played half the season starting at left tackle. And he did pretty well, but then he got an injury. It set him back, and so he had the ACL injury, and so he had to come back from that. And so they have an interesting choice this year because, I mean, he's a restricted free agent. They know he has value. They're probably going to put the second-round tag on him at about $3 million.
Yeah.
And it would not be out of the question that at some point in the next year they'll give him the right tackle job. They almost did it last year, but then Jermaine Ifedi came on and did pretty well for the first time. And then I've done that before. But I think right now he's probably going to be the future right tackle.
Is Ifedi still a hothead?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
He cooled down a little bit, but, I mean, what, he had 22 penalties in 2017,
jeez,
and a lot of them just blowing up at the line of scrimmage.
While we're talking Fant, and by the way, wasn't it against the Vikings in the preseason?
He caught a pass.
That he tore the ACL?
Yeah,
I think it was. While we're talking Fant, is Noah Fant a potential selection for Seattle? The tight end from Iowa, because it seems to me like they could use a tight end there.
They don't have a standout guy. No, they don't have a standout guy, but they're content right now because, again, not like in the days when they had Jimmy Graham, who couldn't block but could catch.
Right.
But they want a blocking tight end. So Ed Dixon was the best blocking tight end available in free agency last year. They thought Will Disley was the best blocking tight end. But he tore out his patellar tendon, and Nick Vinette came on. So they got three tight ends.
So where are the Seahawks looking right now? First round?
Really, first round, I think defensive end, if they stay in the first round. They need another pass rusher, because when you think about it, you know, the big changes that they had, you know, they lose three starters on the defensive line. You know, they lost Sheldon Richardson, who wasn't a pass rusher, but a good player. You know how good he is. And then they also lost, they traded away Michael Bennett, and they cut, and they also, they lost Cliff Averill because he retired. So now they have to take Frank Clark from being the number three pass rusher to the number one, and he had a 13-sack season and did really well. But they need somebody else because if you look at defensive end, the next best guy was Quincy Jefferson, who went to my high school, and he only had three sacks.
Well, Frank Clark's unrestricted, right?
Yes, he'll be franchised.
Yeah, he'll okay. Now, with from a defensive standpoint, given defense is such the identity of Seattle Seahawks football, has been for X amount of years, that Legion of Boom with Richard Sherman, Cam Chancellor, Earl Thomas, with Sherman gone, Thomas out, and Cam Chancellor retired. I mean, how different was it? Did that whole thing resonate well in the locker room?
It did, yeah, because, I mean, you could see from Richard Sherman, he wasn't a big fan of Russell Wilson, and there was a lot of different interplay and stuff like that, almost like in Pittsburgh. I mean, they needed to change some things, and so they changed that completely, and it came out pretty well. They picked up Trey Flowers in the fifth round, and he was really good.
Yeah,
and they had a little bit of a problem at the end of the season with Shaquille Griffin because he had an ankle injury, and it kind of bothered him and slowed him down. They were kind of juggling at safety. But ultimately, what they're going to have to do is go ahead and try to get a few extra guys on defense. But I think they're going to come out pretty well. They give up 21.2 points a game. And if they can get more talent to take it to about 18, then they're in good shape.
John Clayton, 9 to noon.
Bobby Wagner. I think he's one of the very best linebackers in the National Football League. Do you think that he gets the respect that he deserves?
Yes. He does now. It's taken him some time, but again, yeah. I mean, most people consider he and Luke Kuechly to be the two best middle linebackers in the game. And when you start to look down the line, you know, he's starting to get some consideration. Maybe he's too early yet, but he's the early consideration. If he can get another contract, play as well as he can, and then he can probably be, you know, a potential Hall of Famer.
20-plus combines for you, right?
30. 30 consecutive.
Yeah, 30 consecutive. Now, for Paul and I, this is 9 consecutive. And when we were doing the radio shows from the concourse at Lucas Oil, I think there were 4 shows. There was us, Pittsburgh, Cleveland, and Sirius NFL Radio. Look at this room now. I mean, it's just how much has this whole thing changed in the 3 decades you've seen it?
1990 was my first. And in that, we only had 7 reporters here. 7.
Total people.
Total, yeah. No cameras, nothing else.
Was Sid Hartman one?
Sid was not there, no. he wasn't chasing people down. No, he was not there. But again, we only had 7. And, you know, at that point, there was so few of us, they gave us free reign. So, like, we would sit over by the Crown Royal, or the Crown, you know, the Royal Plaza, whatever you call it.
Yeah.
And then we would be on the inside, sitting by the elevators, watching all the scouts get into fist fights as they're trying to get players to come over and go for interviews. And when they started seeing more reporters starting to show up each year, then they put us in the lobby. They took away all the chairs. They turned down the heat. And it turned out the lights. Just hoping they were going to go away. Holy cow. We didn't go away.
And they wouldn't even play Lil Wayne.
They wouldn't play Lil Wayne.
Lil Wayne wasn't born yet.
He wasn't born yet, right?
That's really funny. That thing, things have changed
last
a lot.
Last one for John Clayton.
This may be a unique draft in that the teams at the top of the draft don't need quarterbacks.
No, I know. Isn't that
strange? Isn't that weird? I can't remember going to a draft where the top 5 teams, none need a quarterback.
Well, it sure helped that the best 5 players in the draft are all defensive players, too.
Yes.
Yeah. 7 guys.
Yeah, well, there's that. Do you think the Giants will be the first team to take a quarterback?
Yeah. I can't. Right now, and again, it's funny because you can see the rise of Kyler Murray, but what you can't see is the 3 teams in the top 10 taking Kyler Murray.
Yeah.
Because I don't know if Tom Coughlin would trade above
The Giants.
Right. I think Giants take Dwayne Haskins. Mm-hmm. We'll see what I think Jacksonville then will take an offensive tackle, and then I think Drew Locke may end up going to the Denver Broncos.
So you don't believe Arizona will take Kyler Murray?
I don't buy it. I don't buy it. Nick Bosa's too good.
Yeah.
And they could be just positioning to get equity, try to work a trade, right?
Yeah. Is there any life to the rumor that Josh Rosen has deleted all of his Arizona Cardinals tweets from his Twitter account and that he's actually kind of disgruntled right now?
I mean, I wouldn't surprise me with him. I still remember I had him on Sirius Radio on Moving the Chains, and he was promoting something. And so, you know, I go through the long spiel that you normally do when you're saying, oh, yeah, so you have giving this to this, and this is a real good cause, and da-da-da-da-da-da-da. Tell me what – it's like, this is a good one. Yes. That was it.
Right.
That was
that's
done.
That's all you got.
That's all I got. It's like for his promotion of this, he had one word. Let's put it this way. He deleted the promotion.
The professor, John Clayton, from the NFL Combine, at John Clayton NFL via Twitter. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thanks, John.
We'll be right back to put a wrap on Combine 2019 after this.
You're listening to PA, Charge, and Lieber from the NFL Combine, presented by Whiting LASIK Eye Care and Cataract on The Fan.